President Donald Trump made his latest big announcement on Iran on his social media platform, calling for Iran's unconditional surrender. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt explained that in remarks to reporters.
What the president means is that when he, as commander-in-chief of the U.S. Armed Forces, determines that Iran no longer poses a threat to the United States of America and the goals of Operation Epic Fury has been fully realized, then Iran will essentially be in a place of unconditional surrender. Whether they say it themselves or not, frankly, they don't have a lot of people to say that for them because the United States and the state of Israel have completely wiped out near more than 50 leaders of the former terrorist regime, including the supreme leader himself.
Leavitt's remarks, like Trump's post, also spoke of Trump having a say in choosing Iran's next leader. Iran's ambassador to the United Nations, Amir Sayed Iravani, has other ideas.
Iran is a sovereign and independent state. It does not accept and will never allow any foreign power to interfere in its internal affairs. Our Constitution is clear. The selection of Iran's leadership will take place strictly in accordance with our constitutional procedures and solely by the will of the Iranian people, without any foreign interference.
He called the war deliberate, unprovoked, and unlawful, and he called on the UN to condemn aggression, war crimes, and crimes against humanity committed by the U.S. and Israel.
To ensure accountability for these grave violations of international humanitarian law and war crimes, we continue to exercise our inherent right to self-defense under Article 51 of the Charter of the United Nations until this aggression and this barbaric attack stop. Our response is lawful, necessary, and proportionate.
He talked about a death toll in Iran that has reached more than 1,300 civilians, along with attacks on schools, hospitals, and residences.
On the first day of aggression, a girls' elementary school in Minab in southern Iran was struck. 175 schoolgirls were martyred in that attack. More than half of the victims could only be identified through DNA testing. So far, more than 180 Iranian children across the country have lost their lives as a result of this criminal war waged by the United States and the Israeli regime.
The Pentagon says it's reviewing the school attack. New information on the February 28th explosion at the school suggests it was likely caused by U.S. airstrikes. The UN's High Commissioner for Human Rights, Volker Turk, says the attack raises significant concerns about respect for international humanitarian law in the conduct of hostilities.
The onus is now really on those who had conducted these strikes to conduct this type of investigation.
More broadly, he says the crisis is spreading like wildfire, causing damage in at least a dozen other countries and risking economic and environmental harm across the world.
The world urgently needs to see steps to contain and extinguish this blaze. But instead, we are only seeing more inflammatory, bellicose rhetoric, more bombings, more destruction, killings and escalation that fuels it further.
The UN's Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Relief Coordinator, Tom Fletcher, says this is a moment of grave peril, with crises escalating rapidly and consequences out of control.
We've lost our bearings somehow in the world, and that this ingenuity and creativity that humans have is being spent on developing more and more sophisticated ways of killing each other.
He says we're seeing increasing linkages between humanitarian crises, none of them good.
We're seeing staggering amounts of money, reportedly $1 billion a day, funding this war, spent on destruction, while politicians continue to boast about cutting aid budgets for those in greatest need. And we're seeing an increasingly deadly alliance of technology and killing with impunity. We're seeing a sustained attack against the systems and laws meant to restrain us from our worst instincts and from reckless warfare. So too many warning lights are flashing on the dashboard right now.
He talked about crises like aid to Gaza not being replenished, a hospital bombed in Afghanistan, 100,000 new refugees in Lebanon. But beyond country crises, he described three knock-on effects: disruption of supply chains and food prices, less attention to conflicts in places like Ukraine and the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and finally, the attrition of international law and humanitarian principles.
As conflicts spread, the international system pulls further apart, and more resources flow towards weapons, rather than the funding, the political will, the diplomatic energy needed for saving lives. Humanitarian action is always harder in times of war. But this is, of course, when it is most needed.
Reporting for Pacifica Radio News KPFA, I'm Christopher Martinez.